I was somewhere preaching, I don't know where, away from here, and I heard that song on the radio, and I just loved hearing it. Jesus is with me, this friend by my side, but I didn't know how to identify. This has been more than 20 years ago. So I called Dr. Reese, and Margaret got the phone, and I said, Margaret, do you know anything about this song? She says, I don't know exactly, but it sounds like a John W. Peterson song. And sure enough, that was right, and I asked someone to sing it. But I'm always blessed and encouraged by it. Jesus is with me, this friend by my side. I think we ought to sing that chorus as a chorus when we sing in church sometimes, you know. Jesus is with me, this friend by my side. Ah, I like that chorus. Don't you like that? Good. It's a blessing. I'd like you to take the word of God, please, and turn with me, if you would please, to the book of Proverbs. The second chapter, Proverbs chapter 2, we'll begin reading in just a moment with verse 1. Now I'm going to ask a little extra out of you. I want you to make sure everyone near you has a Bible to see. There may be some folks here who do not have a Bible with them. And if they don't have a Bible with them, I want you to share your Bible with them and make sure they can see the scriptures as we move through some things here. It's the first opportunity I have to speak in this new year, and so a pastor thinks about what he's going to say to begin the new year, and I want people to get this from God's Word, and so do your best to follow along and make sure others can follow along, if you would please. Let's have just a brief prayer, may we? Our Father, we asked that our hearts would be still before Thee, and that we would be attentive to Thee and to Thy Word, to Thy blessed Spirit. Guide us now, we pray, in Christ Jesus' name, amen. All around we hear about a new world order. It's happening before our very eyes. What is this new world order? We're living in it now. What is it? I think it can be summed up by saying it is the development of all the human being can do with a distinction without God. All the human mind, all human ingenuity can accomplish with this distinction without God. And it is incumbent upon God's people to live their lives in such a way that who we are and what we do are inseparable truths. Now, I mean by that, who we are as Christians, as believers, people who say we've been born again, that we have received this new nature. We're carrying around now the old nature, but we have the new nature, the Lord Jesus living in us, and we should be living our lives in such a way that we are living evidence of a changed life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, all things become new. And so how we talk, how we behave, how we respond to things ought to give evidence that God is real, and in particular that he's real to us. This is what the Lord's given us to do. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, that's the expectation God has for you, no matter where you are, no matter where you find yourself, what circumstance you may encounter, to live the reality of God in your life on a daily basis. Come to Proverbs chapter 2, begin with verse 1. The Bible says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." I want to call your attention to the fifth verse here. I trust you'll memorize this verse and other great passages from the scripture in this new year. "Then shalt thou understand the fear of God and find the knowledge of God. We understand the greatest knowledge we ever have is the knowledge of God. It ought to be an ever-increasing knowledge. But look what we find preceding it. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. I want you to mark those words. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. I've been trying to lay the groundwork for many of the things I want to say and do in the life and ministry of this church as God gives us time and days ahead. But remember the verse in John chapter 3 when John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, said in verse 30, John chapter 3 and verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, and God increasing is the answer to everything we need. Increasing. He's greater. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Whatever you're facing, no matter what you find yourself dealing with in this life, he must increase. I must decrease. He must increase. I must decrease. The knowledge of God, coming from the fear of God, the fear of God. Before we begin this little journey, I want you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs in what is typically called this virtuous woman chapter in chapter 31 of Proverbs. If you have your Bible open there, we won't read the entire chapter. I'd like to encourage you to do that. But I want you to begin with me in verse 26 of Proverbs chapter 31. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. In her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. And notice carefully the 29th verse. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. How can we excel them all in life? Not to say we're on top, but to live up to what God expects of us. The Bible says of this woman, she excels them all. I read somewhere that 3,700,000 and so many thousand young people are to graduate this year from American high schools. What kind of life will they launch with that graduation? 147 million households in America. We can get statistics about children being born and growing up. What is it that must take place in the life of a child or in any human being for us to accomplish God's will for us? What is it? At some point in time in life, we will look back in retrospect across the days of our lives and we'll give some estimation about how we've done. Not only will we look back across our own lives, but we'll look back across the lives of those God has privileged us to have a part in, like those we've reared in our families. And we'll think about what we have done, what we could have done, what we should have done. Where is the bedrock for all of that? Where is the foundation for the best God has for us? Where is that? I'm going to lead you to another verse, often quoted in the Proverbs, if you'll look at it, please, with me. And it's about training a child, if you look at it. The Word of God says in the book of Proverbs, if you'll turn there to this amazing verse of Scripture in Proverbs chapter 22, the Bible says, begin with verse 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. We have these wonderful comparisons. You choose between a good name, and you choose between a good name and great riches. You choose between loving favor and silver and gold. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. How do we become prudent people? By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. You want riches, honor, and life? It's preceded by humility and the fear of the Lord. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. And then this verse often quoted, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Just for the idea that it'll bring, I want you to mark the word in that verse, child, and the word old. The word child and the word old. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. The word child and the word old. Please mark it. Now, I want you to think with me. What are we doing between childhood and old age? What are we doing? I was reading something that was written over 100 years ago about child rearing. A Christian wrote it, and it's sort of startling in the beginning paragraphs. He says, leave them alone. Now, the author comes to what we ought to put into the heart of a child, but the whole intent by that shocking beginning is that God has a way for them. And often we interrupt what God is doing by overdoing what we want to do. I know there's a delicate line that can be crossed there between his work and our work, and the harmony that we must find between what we do and what God is doing, and the understanding that God has a work in people's lives. I want to make the most of my life. I assume you have the same idea, that you want to make the most of your life. But what about those that we're working with and teaching? Why? Often, especially in this day and time, we're asked, why do you have a Christian school? Why have Christian education? Why? Early here in Proverbs, I wrote that question, why should I have a Christian school and put my life into it? Why should I work at this? To teach what I know to be true about God. But what about people who can't be exposed to it? Untold millions of people don't have the opportunity that you and I have. So where does it all begin? And you have marked, if you look again, please, in Proverbs chapter 2, you have marked this expression in verse 5, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. I want to launch out here. I want to begin, but I want to remind you of something in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going from children to manhood. Children to old age. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the apostle writes on the inspiration of the Spirit of God, in verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And I've marked these three things in the 11th verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. So my speaking, my understanding, my thinking. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So there is a difference, a distinct difference between the way a child speaks, the way a child understands, and the way a child thinks. And a mature person should speak a certain way. A mature person should not only speak a certain way, in the very words of Scripture, they should understand differently. A mature person should think differently. Thinking, understanding, speaking. What is your thought life? What is your thought life? What is my thought life? Our thought life will determine our life. From our thought life, what is our understanding? How is it that we speak? Now, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 2. In Proverbs chapter 2, the Bible says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. Where does this come from? Let's look again. Verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words. There can never be the proper understanding of anything in life without the word of God. God gave us this book. Hold it in your hand for a moment, would you please? This is God's revelation of himself. It is God's revelation of himself. Would you say that with me? It is God's revelation of himself. It's a book about God. In it you'll find events, people, but it's a book about God. God has revealed himself. God has unveiled himself. As if someone would say, I want you to have this unveiling, this seeing, this vision. I'm going to unveil myself. God says, I'm going to reveal myself to you. And that revelation of God is progressive. He begins with, in the beginning God created. Soon we learn that God is the Almighty God. There's nothing too hard for him. We move to that progressive revelation of God to the perfect revelation of God in the person of Jesus Christ. God himself, who became a man without ceasing to be God. And the Bible comes to this grand climax for us in the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revelation or the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ for us to see him victorious, King of kings and Lord of lords. We cannot understand God and know God without this blessed book. So, of all the things we do, in a brand new opportunity, at the bedrock of it all must be the Word of God and what we do with the Word of God. You must not depend entirely upon the preaching and teaching of some pastor or some Bible teacher. You must become a student of God's Word yourself. And if you're really a student of God's Word, you're a student of the Lord. So what did you learn from the Lord studying His Word? We have to find a starting place, don't we? Have to find a starting place. I want to challenge you to start in the book of Genesis and go through every chapter of the book of Genesis. I want to encourage you with other things. I want to encourage you to read the 31 chapters in Proverbs. Many of you will take that as a daily task and read Proverbs chapter 1 on day 1, Proverbs chapter 2 on day 2, Proverbs chapter 3 on day 3, and so on through the book of Proverbs. But where does it all begin? Well, I want you to make note of this, would you please? I want you to take these things down so that you could teach them to someone else. Look with me, please, if you would. In verse 7 of chapter 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we want to understand the fear of the Lord. We understand we don't know how to understand the fear of the Lord apart from God's word. But the reason we need the fear of God, and I'm not going to try and define it for you. You say, this reverential respect, this fear of God, placing God in his rightful place and seeing yourself in your rightful place. Seeing the Lord high exalted, holy, lifted up. Crying out as the prophet cried out, woe is me! I've seen the Lord. We won't go into all of that, but we will begin here. It is the beginning, the Bible says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We must begin with God. Fix that in your mind. Then turn with me, please, to Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. The Bible says in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom. We can have wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Understanding. So God says the fear of the Lord will bring wisdom and will bring understanding. Hold your place here just a moment and turn with me to the book of Job. The 28th chapter of the book of Job. Would you turn there, please? This entire chapter is about wisdom. Now, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it'll bring understanding. So the entire 28th chapter of the book of Job is about wisdom. And who can find it? Where is it? and the search is made for wisdom. The Bible says, surely there's a vein for the silver, a place for gold, where they find it. Iron is taken out of the earth, and brass is molten out of the stone. He setteth an end to darkness, and searcheth out the perfection, the stones of darkness, and the shadow of death. Verse 4, the flood breaketh out from the inhabitant, even the waters forgotten of the foot. They are dried up, they are gone away from men. As for the earth, out of it cometh bread, and under it is turned up as it were fire. The stones of it are the place of sapphires, and it hath dust of gold. There's a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. The lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. He putteth forth his hand upon the rock. He turneth the mountains by the roots. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks, and his eye seeth every precious thing. He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. But where, verse 12, Job 28, but where is the place where is wisdom found? Where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? If you try to go through life without wisdom and understanding, you're not going to make it. You're going to shipwreck surely. Those you love and God blesses you with as children, the heritage of the Lord, they're going to shipwreck their lives without wisdom and understanding. So where is it? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it's not in me, and the sea saith, it's not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for the jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. Listen, you're hearing the world over say, prepare, prepare, prepare. Be ready for whatever ruin is coming our way. But the truth of the matter is, all the preparation the world can give does not equal in any way what wisdom and understanding provides. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom? Where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of the living and kept close from the fowls of the air, destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. Verse 23, God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth unto the whole heaven to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searcheth it out. And unto man he said, unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Now God says, look please, let's use a little God-given logic here. God says we cannot understand the fear of the Lord apart from the Word of God. In other words, people who do not know God through His Word do not fear the Lord. Cannot and will not fear the Lord. They do not fear the Lord. And they will not have understanding. Back to Proverbs. Chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Chapter 10, verse 27. Would you look at it, please? The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Think of this. You want your days to amount to the most? not only in length, but the quality of life one lives. That can only happen with the fear of the Lord. Chapter 14, if you'll turn there, please. In chapter 14, the Bible says in verse 27, 26 and 27, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Think of that. The fear of the Lord provides a place of refuge. Isn't that wonderful? Look at verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. It is the beginning of wisdom. It brings us to understanding. God helping us. It is also prolonging our days. It provides a place of refuge. It is the fountain of life. Chapter 15 and verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Not just the beginning of wisdom, but the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. It instructs us. Wisdom, of course, is a discernment that only God can give. Right choices. Right choices happens to be the greatest thing we do in life. Nothing in life is greater than making right choices. Life is full of choices. We want to make right choices. Many of you are facing critical choices at this moment. Choices about life, about a life's mate, what to look for in a life's mate, a life's work. We're not going to do the thing that's best for us and pleases God if we don't have wisdom. And we won't have wisdom unless we have the fear of the Lord. And we won't have the fear of the Lord without the Word of God. And so, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Chapter 15, verse 33. Look, please, again. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Where do you get the fear of the Lord? From the Word of God. Chapter 16, verse 6. The Bible says, but mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Departing from evil. Now think of that. The Word of God says, back again, and I'll read it while you just listen, in the 28th chapter of Job, in the 28th verse, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6, by the fear of the Lord, by means of the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. They have understanding to depart from evil. How many of you have ever been brokenhearted at yourself by a wrong choice you made? How many of us have ever been brokenhearted when someone else has made a wrong choice in life and it broke our heart to see what could have been? You see, sometimes we pastors and preachers and Bible teachers make it so complicated that it doesn't attach itself to our thinking, become our thought, part of our thought life. But if we're going to speak the right thing and think the right thing, if we're going to think right and speak right, behave properly, we need the Word of God. Put yourself on a diet of God's Word. Let's look again in Proverbs chapter 29. And God's Word speaks to us, enables us. Oh, the precious things that come from the fear of the Lord. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25, the fear of the Lord bringeth a snare, fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Nothing in the world is on the minds of people anymore at this moment than safety. Nothing. Matter of fact, someone said to me the other day, the growingest industry in the world is security. There's a lot of thought there, isn't there? The growingest industry in the world is security and the hope that someone can provide security. You see, there is a fear that relieves all other fears. It releases us from all other fears. It's the fear of the Lord. It releases us from other fears. Jesus is with me. This friend by my side. The fear of man bringeth a snare. And we have had our world ensnared, our country ensnared by fear. It won't be long before you don't go to a shopping mall without having some sort of security check before you go in. It won't be long before you can't go anywhere without what we call now the inconvenience of some security check. But all of that will become a way of life. And when we think we've got it all conquered, someone will come up with something in some other way to bring some terror upon us. But the Bible says, the Word of God says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Let's imagine that I took to task the greatest thing I could do for you and for this church. And I love the opportunity to be the pastor of this church. I love it. I do. I love it. I'll say more about that in the evening, about what God has given me to do to be approved of Him. I'll give you just two or three little things that are the things God's given me, and I want to be approved of God in those things. So when all is said and done and life is lived to the best, what is the greatest thing I can do as a pastor, as a shepherd under God for you? I can lead you to know the Lord in a better way. That's it. You want to go take a course in math or science and conquer some mathematics problem or uncover some scientific mystery? Then you look for the science and math man. Nothing wrong with that. But my responsibility is to help people know the Lord better. And I must begin with my own heart, my own self. You see, the issue, look please, the issue is that we're trying to get people to do things that God would approve of, and those people don't even know God like they ought to know Him. Once you know God like you ought to know Him, you won't have to be beaten in the head or yanked at and pulled at all the time to try to do what He wants you to do. It'll be the love of Christ that constrains you. Is that what you want for your children? That the love of Christ constrains them? Or would you like to herd them like a herd of cats? You ever tried to get a cat to do something? Impossible. We've got a new puppy in our house, and I'm just about to throw her in the same category as the cats. They got a mind of their own. And by the way, everyone in life has a mind of his own or her own. But when they, human beings we're talking about now, I don't, Evelyn probably thinks that our dog's a Christian, but I don't believe she's been converted. I just don't believe she's been converted at all. And I have little hope of her being converted, as a matter of fact. That's why I've stopped believing that dogs can go to heaven or hell. Because I got to have peace in my heart, you know, that it's done for her. So we're trying to provide heaven on earth for her now. But people, your heart can be changed. And you can know God and fear God and go from childhood into old age at peace. A life that not only is ascending in years, listen, not only ascending in years, but it is ascending in the quality of life. as he increases and God becomes greater in your life, and there's such a peace in your heart that you're in his hand and all is well. And you don't need to worry and fret. That's the life I want for myself. That's the life I want for my wife. That's the life I want for my children. That's the life I want for my grandchildren. And that's the life I want for you. The only issue is I can't give it to any of them. Each person must get it for himself or herself in their personal knowledge of God through his word, by his spirit. It's available for you. So I say, Pastor, what are you asking us to do? I'm asking you not just to be disciplined enough to read the Bible, but to read the Bible, search the scriptures, compare scripture with scripture, memorize scripture, meditate upon the word of God. It'll bring the fear of God, and the fear of God will bring every other precious thing God wants us to have. Let's bow in prayer together, may we? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How many of you are tired? I mean really tired of somebody trying to get you to do some Christian thing. And you just don't respond. You just don't respond. The great interest is not there. Well, the Word of God says examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith, if you've really been born again. Have you been born again? Have you truly come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you come to know Him as your personal Savior? Have you repented of your sin? Have you repented of your sin? The fact that you are a sinner and trusted in Christ and Christ alone for your soul's salvation. And has the Holy Spirit given you a witness, the witness that you belong to God, that He lives in you, that you're one of His children? Then now what we have is a responsibility to know Him, to get to know Him, to fear Him, to give Him His rightful place, to love Him and follow Him. Oh, He's available. He is available. He's a wonderful Savior. Just when I need Him, Jesus is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear, ready to help me, ready to cheer, just when I need Him most. I want you to stand with me, would you, with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, may this be a day of difference and difference making in our lives. May it be a day of genuineness as we prepare our hearts to serve Thee, to live for Thee, and to love Thee, and to tell us about Thee. For those who do not know Thee, Lord, may this be a day when they come and come clean with their lostness to trust Thee as the only Savior. Before we lift our heads and sing, what is it God wants you to do? You say, I'd like to just tell the Lord what I want Him to help me do with Him and with His Word. Then come on your knees to the Lord here and pray. And when you've done that, you may return. What is it God wants you to do? Just be an obedient person to the Lord. Father, may Thy will be done In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hymn number 209. I want you to help me sing it. But if you know God is dealing with your heart and you need to respond to what the Holy Spirit has done in your heart, leave your place and come. It's real. It's real. You say, I can act on this. You'll act on it much better if you commit the Lord and make a covenant with God about the matter. There's no doubt in my mind about that. Allow the Lord to hold you accountable. You make yourself accountable to God.